5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host. Look how dirty this mug is. This is what happens when I try and pour into that and just made a real mess of the situation. Of the aforementioned podcast, and alongside me is my lovely wife, Coyote Ugly's finest, Melissa Nickerson. She put on a... Mel is feeling weird about her shirt.
Yeah.
And I like when Mel's feeling weird. Mel is my favorite version of Mel.
This is my thinking, right? This is a two-day episode.
Yeah.
I was like, it's
good. Two-episode day.
Two-episode day.
Forgive me.
Feels like a two-day episode, am I right? Oof.
I was like, oh, well, it's going to get too cold to wear this sleeveless shirt.
Yeah.
It's been in the back of my closet for a year and a half. Today's the day.
The less cloth on you, the better, in my opinion. If Andy wasn't here, I would... Huh? Anyways, hi to Melissa's family. Everyone listening across the globe, thank you everybody for tuning in. Lovely wife and co-host Melissa Nickerson.
Hi there.
Above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, our state-of-the-art recording studio. The plant looks good. The books look good.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy, if you're watching online, enjoy this last... Mel's gonna replace this with LED lights. LED
That's
lights.
The new theme.
In a lava lamp.
Yep.
Coming in hot.
I'm going to put them behind the chairs.
Oh, that'd be nice.
So we glow.
I still like these chairs. The posters, I actually really like the posters. It's just what it shook down that you chose my least favorite poster is the one behind me. But I wasn't
here. I didn't know that.
You didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was on the road for like 12 days at the time.
That's the problem is when you build a stage or a studio set, you don't know what's going to... I'm not behind the camera.
You don't know what the camera's going to look like. Yeah, it's a whole to-do.
I was just the set designer.
Yeah, you did great. Yeah. No, we really like
it. We're just going to spice it up a bit.
We're going to put some turmeric back there, some oregano, some various spices.
That'll
you know what,
nice.
Mel?
We're going to do a spice.
You're on this podcast. There's enough spice. Mel Spice.
We just have a spice cabinet.
Bring in the pepper plant.
We should have a spice cabinet right here. I actually have come up with a podcast. I want to do a YouTube channel where the guests eat spicy foods. And then,
oh, that's a good idea.
I think.
Yeah.
That could work.
Keep an eye on
that
it.
That could work.
Yeah. And we'll call it Hot Things.
Hot Chicks.
Hot Chicks. Anyways, thanks for tuning in, everybody. You guys have been leaving a lot of reviews. Please keep doing it. Here's
All right.
one right here. This is
what
from Blaine C. 24. Stop shaming me, all right? Sheesh. Five stars. This is my shame review.
Mm-hmm.
You've beat on the guilt and embarrassment that resides in me to write this review. Love the podcast, and you too. If you will too, if you give it a listen. Dustin and Melissa are fantastic and hilarious. I end up sending my wife snippets from each episode because everything is beyond relatable to this middle-aged, two-kid, Northwest white dude. Cheers to you, Nickersons and Andy. Okay, now stop shaming us to write reviews. I won't shame you, but I'll shame everybody else except mm-hmm. you. And also, mm-hmm. five-star here, Everett G.
All right.
Go back and listen to all the episodes. Five star. I started listening during COVID. Loved it so much. I went back and listened to all of the previous episodes. I still listen every week. Love, Dustin and Melissa.
That's amazing. Amazing.
We're doing okay, Melissa. Things are ticking along, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Moderate levels of success, and we'll take it. Speaking of moderate levels of success, this weekend I'm going to be at the Irvine Improv, October 27th, 28th, two shows. You know, when I recorded this, we were still at two shows. I'm going to tell you right now, we did not add a show. That is a big old room, and I've never sold out one show there. And so selling out two shows in, you know, 9 days notice is going to be unlikely. But
and it's the early show, right? Seven?
Eight, 7 o'clock. Eight? It's the only shows. Yeah, okay. 7 o'clock. Which, you know,
they don't have a late show.
You know, which is pretty late for Irvine.
Nice.
Orange County.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shut it down.
Yeah, at the Spectrum after that time, it's just rampant children.
Yeah,
running
exactly.
Around the Spectrum.
You guys, it's Orange County. You've got a soccer tournament in the morning.
You got to get
a volleyball tournament on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, if you posted up at the Apple store at Irvine Spectrum and did your set there, you would have more people.
Dang. Dang.
I'm going for pretzels, ooh. Personally.
To quote everyone in our house, anytime something tastes good.
Well, we call it pretzies.
Pretzies? Wetzies pretzies?
Can we get pretzies?
Can we get some pretzies? Are you Wetzels or what's the other one?
I think the Northwest.
Annie Ann's.
Annie Ann. There's another.
Cinnabon?
Cinnabon, yeah.
Same vein.
I feel like there's.
Carby, sweet thing.
Delightful. Yeah, I don't. You don't see Annie Ann's around. I feel like Wetzels.
Auntie Ann's.
Auntie Ann's.
Sorry.
No, it's all right, Dickens. Yeah, no, I see you really put a little tiny Tim on it.
I have been spending a lot of time with our 9-year-old on fall break, and she has a great British accent.
Our kids are so good at accents. It's wild.
The way she says strawberry with her accent.
Strawberry.
Strawberry. It's very, very good. I can't do it.
Can't do it justice.
No.
But
no.
You can see me do things I am good at on tour. No accents. Except a very problematic Indian one that I've been adding to the act these days. I just thought, what if I was a different person? What if I just went up there? What if I became a
shock comedy?
What if I became a cancel culture comedian? That would be that'd be a fun heel turn for our audience. They're like, oh, he was like the nice middle-aged dad who did like made fun of both parties and really just talked about the hardships of life. And then I come out and I'm just saying every slur you're not allowed to say. And just, it'd be amazing. I can't even say the premises.
I know. I'm like, I can't say anything.
I'm so unproblematic. I won't even say the premises.
Just full midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Hard turn.
I'll tell you a little.
Dustin's going through something.
Most buy a Ferrari.
Yeah. A little Dustin's comedy corner. I'm here to tell you the people that do that usually have to. They usually do that because they find an audience.
Yeah.
And that is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make that choice if you want to make that choice. Mm-hmm. Speaking of making choices, if you go over to DustinNickerson.com, you're going to see all these tour dates. November 25th, I'm going to be at Angel of the Winds Casino. That's the day. It's 2 days after Thanksgiving in Arlington,
fantastic.
Washington. Mm-hmm. Then we go to December 1st and 2nd, Phoenix. 3rd, Las Vegas. 7th through 9th, Cleveland. 10th, Liberty, Ohio. 13th, Columbus. 14th through 16th, Pittsburgh. 17th, Buffalo. 29th through 31st, that's New Year's Eve, Indianapolis. And then we go into January. It's Brooklyn, KC, St. Louis, Philadelphia. February is Portland, D.C., Grand Rapids. March, end of the halfway there tour, Spokane. And The Crocodile, March 10th.
In Seattle.
Do you normally film a special on the last one? Yeah, you normally do. Is that tentatively the plan? Yes, that is tentatively the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out, everybody. DustinNickerson.com/tour. Okay, so a couple weeks ago, we were discussing Nickelback and Creed.
Yes.
We're going to get into some holiday stuff here.
Sure.
We're going to get to it.
It's November 1st.
It's November 1st.
Yeah. We're in the holidays.
Exactly.
Yep.
It's the holiday season. Wrong holiday. Underrated Christmas song. Oh, Andy Williams overall is like a, it's like a top five Christmas album for me right there. Mm-hmm. I think it goes Stevie Wonder, Johnny Cash, Nat King Cole, Andy Williams. Those are my four. Five, Dustin Kensrue.
Yeah.
All the icons. Yeah. You know, I do like that Kensrue album a lot. But anyways, yeah. it's guys, we're not talking about that. Yet.
Yeah.
But I want to get to this email because we were chatting Creed and Nickelback and how they've had kind of like a redemption era right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this email is from Jared. And he said, "Hey guys, hey, I had to weigh in on the early 2000s rock band debate. Nickelback early on had a much more metal sound, and as some of their stuff got popular, they leaned into it, and most people who liked metal thought they sold out." Okay. Same story with Creed. Stain did this as well, but they have returned to their metal roots, Aaron Luce's country songs notwithstanding. Is he just White Hootie? But I digress. Three Doors Down did not come from a harder metal background. They had the same softer pop rock from the get-go, so I don't think people thought that they sold out as much. Just one man's opinion who graduated high school in 2001 and was all about this kind of music in the late high school, early college. Love the podcast. I listen every week, unless it's a rerun. It's funny. Maybe run some pre-Melissa interview style pods on the off weeks. If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. Oh, that's an interesting thought.
Go back to the interviews?
Well, no, for the reruns.
Yeah,
it's not a bad idea. It's something different, I suppose, is what they're saying.
Novelty.
Mm-hmm. I think that's an interesting take.
Yeah.
This is my theory on Maroon 5. People who really like songs about Jane don't like Maroon 5 anymore because the genre just changed. Like, to go from Sunday morning to my heart's a stereo.
Sure.
Like, you're like, oh, this is a totally different band than they used to be. Like, they used to do, like, they used to cover, like, Highway to Hell at their live shows and stuff. Like, they were a little, I think they're out of Omaha, the guitar players or something. Like,
guitar player used to be in a band called Square. Tiny little three-piece.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
And they also used to be a band called Kara's Flowers.
Ooh.
So that was actually a little bit more indie pop leaning, and then they did lean more commercial and kind of went
that way. Yeah, but Songs About Jane was just kind of acoustic-y, songwriting. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Very much more in the vein of like your John Mayer.
Early
Jason
Maroon was
Rat.
Great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I actually like new Maroon 5, to be honest with you. I don't know. I think like as a like pop, like rockish acoustic band that just went all in that way and did it, like, I think it's okay.
Yeah,
like, I'm into it.
I feel like it changed.
It did change.
Yeah,
100%
it
changed.
Things get a little too poppy. On the spectrum, it's a little closer to Imagine Dragons than I'd like. It hits,
but you're like, I gotta be in the mood for
You know
that,
what the last one, you know? I gave him was Moves Like Jagger, because that song way.
Sounds great. I like Sugar. Yeah, we jammed that a bunch in the car.
Sugar, yes, please. That's good. Yeah, I just, you know, if you're gonna give me a big song about sugar, it's already been done.
That's true.
Sugar on me.
Yeah. I agree with that.
But I can see like a bunch of kids in a van. Like, that's a fun song to sing out loud.
A pop song.
You know what it is? At a certain point,
yeah, it's definitely a pop
you're just
song.
Too old for it.
Yeah,
and I'm not too old for singer songwriting stuff, but I am a little too old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like Lana Del Rey, but I have to be like, because it's my daughters. There's why I really like Lana Del Rey, by the way. But I'm like, my daughters love it. And they're like, can we listen to Olivia Rodrigo? I was like, yeah, no, I like her too. But I'm only listening because you do. Editor's note, for the next 15 minutes, Dustin and Andy are going to talk about some very boring early 2000s music stuff. If you would like to skip that, there's notes in the show of where to just Feel free to skip this.
But keep listening.
But keep listening.
Yeah.
And don't forget to leave a review. My actually theory on a little, I had more thoughts on this. Not that we're apparently a funny podcast about family, but you know what? There's only so much to talk about. They became cheesy, and each of them had a couple cringe lyrics, and Nickelback had the photograph buried them because what the hell is on Jimmy's head or whatever. Like, it was such a cartoonishly bad lyric, which if you write
that lyric can ruin a song.
It can. And that was the single. Like, it's one thing to have, like, I go back and listen to some of the old punk albums that I used to listen to. Namely, like, I listened to a lot of Offspring, and there were a couple songs that you're like, you know. But to release that as like the single, and that's such a bad lyric. What the hell is on Jimmy's head? Because they're like, this is what? It became like a parody, and then there was that bad Vine of them too. The look at this graph, like yeah. They became almost a parody, and sometimes it only takes one song, like you said.
The internet can ruin you.
The internet can ruin you, but if you stick through,
but you can persevere, keep going.
Great
selling
band.
Tickets. Yep.
Yeah,
Macklemore opens for you.
He opens for Imagine Dragons and does his own stuff.
I think what's funny is that you say about being too old for a band. I think when they were coming up, I felt like those bands were too old for me.
Yeah,
that's what it felt like. I'm like, yeah. This band is supposed to appeal to me, and I feel like
I don't think Nickelback ever was supposed to appeal to you. I think we were because I was in high school when Nickelback came out, and that was I was like, this is closer to dad rock.
Sure, but I'm 3 years older than you.
That's true.
So it's
you're nearly dead.
I know, seriously.
It's almost over for you.
It is. So close.
I hope you have your affairs in order.
I just saw someone drop a Creed meme yesterday.
Yeah.
Of someone putting it on the Sphere in Las Vegas.
Oh, God, yeah. U2 is kind of in an era where people make fun of them again right now. Because I think what happened, they're like, hey, how are we making fun of Creed and not U2? And you're like, well, Creed didn't have Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
Let's cool it. Creed, U2 made a perfect album, you know?
Yes.
They also had, some stuff in Batman Returns, which was underrated.
That's
old
very
me,
true.
Something, Kill Me, Kiss Me. That song was really good. It doesn't. I'm off.
Yeah, Batman Forever. Ooh, deep
Batman
take.
Forever, that's what
Big
it was.
Big fan of Batman Forever. Sunny Day Real Estate on that track.
Sunny's
track.
On that? Little
yes, sir.
Hey, I didn't know that. Sunny Day Real Estate has aged nicely for me. Guys, we can't use any of this.
This is for no one.
Okay, all that early 2000s music stuff aside,
sorry, I fell asleep.
We're here to talk about music. We're here to talk about Halloween. This is it. This is our Halloween episode, right?
This is it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Guys,
I wore my Western.
There you
costume.
Go. Mel is in costume, and I am wearing a pal's shirt.
Being a millennial podcaster. Who supports independent bookstores.
Yeah. Yeah, even though his book's not for sale in there.
That's what your Halloween costume is.
Even though I was like, I wonder if I'll be in Pals. No. Hello, darkness, my old friend.
You set yourself up for that, but...
Right. I was hopeful that maybe I could experience something that would feel good, and then it didn't.
I have a little note.
Editor's note?
Editor's note. No.
Co-host note?
Okay, I just learned this about ADHD, and I think it's lovely.
Okay.
And that is that ADHDers have a short memory of failure in the sense that they'll try.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, it could work this time. They have an optimism that a neurotypical person like myself doesn't have.
That's interesting.
And so...
Yeah.
When you're pitching yourself for stuff or you're like, oh, maybe I'm going to be in this bookstore. Like that is a great way to live because you kind of have a short memory, short-term memory of.
It's more painful moments, but they don't last as long.
You move on.
Yeah.
And you try again.
Told me this and I don't buy it.
No, I'm going to tell you,
I remember every failure so strikingly clear.
Okay.
I think this is going to be more personality type or maybe statistic. Well, and maybe it's true, but it does not apply to me.
Okay, well.
I have to put myself out there because of the nature of my career.
So the nature of your career and the job and the entrepreneurship, you have to put yourself out there all the time on the internet. And what I mean is you keep trying.
Yeah.
And maybe ADHDers also have rejection sensitivity. Like they take rejection or what feels like rejection very hard. So I'm just saying.
It feels contradictory to what you're saying.
Well, that's probably true.
I'm going to let you explain your way out of this.
It's a couple of different traits. I'm just saying that I respect how much you... go for it, and dream.
That's nice.
Because I like to guard myself more,
that's true.
You know, in those kind of regards.
Well, I mean,
anyway.
Yin-yang here because literally our house would be on fire right now if we didn't have you and your diligence. And we really compliment each other nicely there, you know? We just...
Just two peas in a pod.
Square peg, round hole. What? No, that didn't work. That's literally the opposite of that. That means it doesn't work. Square peg, round hole.
What I'm saying is, when I think
the two of us together, I think round peg, round hole. That's what I think. I just think.
That doesn't. Huh? You cannot say that.
I made eye contact with Andy while I said it.
I know.
That's the other side of the expression. All right, let's start this podcast over. All of this is unusable content.
We have derailed.
20 minutes in.
Yeah. If you're just tuning into the podcast, what you just missed is Patreon-only content that got a little dirty. And we can't give to the public.
How do we climb out of this?
I don't know. I don't know. You guys, it's spooky season.
It is.
And you know what? Every season is spooky season when you have anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
FYI. Mm-hmm. I am no more or less spooked this season than I am every other season. But it's, I don't know.
It's the time of year when you can turn on YouTube and all the horror movies will just
be everywhere. This drives me crazy. I don't know how much this applies to everybody, but I really like October. The worst part about October is you can just be living your life and then a commercial for The Exorcist comes on and you're like, I was eating pancakes. I was just trying to live my life in peace and boom, a movie that has haunted you. It doesn't have to be Exorcist. It can be any scare movie. A thing that
it's haunted you for 30 years.
A thing that has ruined your childhood is on your phone. It's on your TV. Your kids are seeing it.
Yep.
It's just
billboards.
Around.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
It's so scary. It's like, and if you saw The Exorcist at a stage of your life where you were either too young, check, or you had some religion in you at that point, or at any point, check, you're like, well, this is a documentary.
Yeah.
If you grew up Christian, you watched The Exorcist like it was a documentary. Like, this is, like, they're like, based on a true story. You're like, oh, so this is a live.
It's scary because it's true.
It's a live feed. This really, all of this happened. The head really turned. That's the only part I don't like about October is how just some terrifying thing will show up. Andy, I kid you not. I tried to call a Lyft the other day. And a pop-up ad for The Exorcist came out. And you're like, I'm trying
to get home. Unreal. That's nuts. I haven't seen that
yet. I'm trying to get home from the airport. They have an Exorcist TikTok filter. Who wanted this? But normal people.
Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, that's fun.
That's the thing. Normal people watch The Exorcist like a normal
person. But
that's
your trauma.
They watch The Exorcist like Freddy Krueger or Jason.
Right.
It was just a horror movie. But if you're religious, you're like, well, I need to make sure this doesn't happen to me. This is a cautionary tale.
Yes.
And it's only a given. Like, when you watch The Exorcist as a Christian, you're like, this is just going to prepare me for when I do run into a demon-possessed person, because that will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, like, football games, too.
That's what I mean. I was watching the football game.
Baseball or football.
Yeah.
And then an Exorcist popped
up. Gantu, an Exorcist preview. Like,
game two, Rangers versus the Astros.
Yeah,
it's speaking of something that'll make your head spin.
It's everywhere. So they have nervous, put so much marketing.
So
into
nervous
it.
That you're gonna puke. Cut to The Exorcist. please,
you can't avoid it.
Please let me just watch this game in peace.
Yeah, nothing is safe.
Mm-mm. Nothing's safe.
Mm-mm.
My religious horror trauma was the movie Event Horizon.
Oh,
that's become like a horror cult classic now. Yeah. But that hinged on some like ideas of hell that was like, oh God, I never want to go there.
Yeah. Mine was Mrs. Doubtfire. About parents that got divorced.
Mine was American Tale.
about moving?
About moving across the continent.
There are some like heartwarming, like Homeward Bound, so Trump,
oh,
you know,
so sad.
I'm just on Amazon trying to find like Winnie the Pooh movies for my kids, and then there's like some horror Winnie the Pooh movie that came out like last year, 2 years ago. That's like right there, and I'm
It's a weird month, and it will always be a strange experience for people who grew up religious to see The Exorcist in mainstream. I kid you not, they have an Exorcist Funko doll.
Ugh.
And you're just like, this is so bizarre for me.
But horror is such a mainstream movie
horror
enterprise.
Is heavy, yeah.
Like, rom-coms are dead. Comedies are kind of dead. But, like, horror is, like, still being made and consumed.
Sex worker, Melissa. We don't say that word anymore.
I had a good point.
We're riffing. No, you are 100% right. Yeah, I undermine.
I don't know. No.
This actually ties into a little bit.
I got nothing.
This ties in a little bit one of the things we were talking about. You can crap on millennials all you want, but we are fully responsible for the mainstreamness of Halloween right now. Halloween is so big, and it's all millennials, baby. We just decided. Millennials decided this was our favorite.
This was our holiday.
This was our holiday growing up. And it's our holiday now, and it's for our kids, too. It's for everybody.
And,
so,
and teenagers can now enjoy it. You can still dress up. Adults can dress up.
We are why.
You don't even have to go to an adult-only Halloween party.
Yeah.
You can just dress up.
We are why horror movies are so popular. We are why there are influencers at pumpkin patches.
They have infiltrated pumpkin patches.
I love a pumpkin patch. The one downside to taking your kids to a pumpkin patch is like, hey, don't step in the way of that influencer's picture.
I just go to watch the influencers. Yeah. My eyes are just glued on them.
Yeah.
What are you going to do next?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, kids, enjoy this maze and that girl laying on those pumpkins.
Like a hay barrel?
Yeah.
No, son, it's not summer. I don't know what that
is. No, don't mind that. That girl that took off her shirt and is holding pumpkins up.
Nothing to see there.
Nothing to see there.
Posing with the scarecrow.
Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't get a Halloween date.
Caption this. Very entertaining.
I do love an influence. Mm-hmm. I do love an influencer at a pumpkin patch in contrast to you and your family there.
Yes.
It's so funny and
it's
so staggering.
Rich.
And that's part of the beauty of the pumpkin patch is everybody can go. The most selfless person and the most selfish person. The most others focused and the most self-absorbed person can have a great time at the pumpkin patch.
And they can have a plastic bag with an outfit change and a camera guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a great contrast, though. It's very fun. There's so much happening at the pumpkin patch, which is what makes it so much fun.
Yeah.
We're buying pumpkins. We're going through a corn maze. You brought a photographer.
You're in a corset? Wicked Witch of the West?
Yeah, that guy's feeding a goat over there.
This guy's shooting apples out of a cannon.
Yeah. That dad's drinking behind the porta potty.
Flies are everywhere.
Yeah. Those teens are making out in the hayride.
That 22-year-old is riding on a mechanical bull.
Yeah. Yeah, the pumpkin patch is an amazing intersection of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Of just absolute.
That kid is operating heavy machinery.
Yes. Yes. 100%. Yeah. This 16-year-old is telling you to wait a second to shoot the cannon. All right.
Where's your ticket?
Yeah. Yeah.
There are two miniature horses walking in that circle.
Yeah.
My 4-year-old is climbing a 3-story inflatable.
Yeah. Yes, that farmer is lamenting that he has to do this because it was a bad crops year. And instead
of rolls out pumpkins.
And instead of having a good harvest, he had to buy 4 inflatables.
That cow is giving birth.
Happy Halloween, everybody. It's very funny. The cat is giving birth. Is that a buffalo?
There's a bison.
Are you allowed to have a bison in captivity?
Google, how much square footage should a bison have? Why are you letting me pet this?
Yeah. That toddler's having the time of his life. That teen hates his mom.
No, we will not buy that 100-pound white pumpkin. We'll get one caramel apple to split.
No. My high schooler freshman is my 100-pound white pumpkin. Thank you. This makes me want to gourd my eyes out. Sorry. I ended with a dad joke. Sorry.
Why is that corn dog $15?
Oh, my gosh. Too good. Too good.
Melissa, I am always worried about internet safety.
Yeah, especially with our kids.
Especially for you. I'm worried about what you are looking at, which is why I want to get Bark put on your phone.
Oh, boy.
Your phone, your laptop, your pager. I need to get Bark on
Bluetooth.
Your pager.
Yeah.
On your Bluetooth.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the little one in your ear.
Apple CarPlay.
As many of you guys know, we are parents. As many of you know, you all know we are parents.
Guys, we're parents.
We're parents, and internet safety is, I don't know if there's a thing that parents think about more anymore.
It is so important and so hard to keep track of.
Yeah, and thankfully, insert Bark Technologies. And then a hero comes along with Bark Technologies to monitor your kid's phone, and there's a new Bark phone too. I didn't hit that. I missed that one, but before that, I was crushing that.
That was good.
Mm-hmm. Bark Technologies is a friend of the pod, and we love them so much. There's a couple services that we've used with them over the year. The phone, the monitoring of your kid's phone, where they send you alerts and what they're looking at, and they have mm-hmm. different mm-hmm. levels and things, whatever it may be. It's fantastic. You're not spying on your kid. There's just certain things where Bark goes, hey, you might want to see this, and they show
check
it to
out
you.
This text.
And even better, simplify your life, ladies and gentlemen. Bark has a new phone.
That's right. And it doesn't look like a kid's phone.
No,
it's black.
No.
It's sleek. Yeah. Phones and technology is improving, and this phone grows with your kid.
Oh.
So maybe your kiddo is, you know, kind of inching into like an Instagram account.
Yeah.
Or wants to be a YouTuber.
Yeah.
And you want to give him some training wheels
right.
to get there.
We recently let our kid get on Instagram, and it was because of Bark.
That's right.
We let our kid, because we're less concerned, and because he's 15 and we're done parenting. But so tell him, but we also, you know, we don't choose any sponsor for the pod. We like sponsors that make sense and we
mesh
use in our
us.
Lives, and Bark is one of them. And the new Bark phone is something that we're really excited about, as well as Bark Technology is what we use constantly. And we have some promo codes and we have some details. Hit them, Melissa. Give them those sweet, sweet details.
All right. So you can manage screen time. You can block websites and apps.
Mm-hmm.
You can monitor text, email, YouTube, and 30 apps and platforms.
And he's excited.
You can get child psychologist advice and tips,
mm-hmm.
even ways to approach kids when they mess up.
So how do they sign up, and how do they save some money, Melissa?
Let me tell you. if you click on the link in the show notes and enter Don't Make Me, all one word, Don't Make Me, you are going to get 7 days of a free trial
Boom.
For the Bark Premium subscription.
And?
As well as 15%
off for the lifetime of your subscription, baby.
That's right.
Here's the thing you see you didn't used to see. Parents in costumes.
Yeah, my dad had a biker hat that he wore for 30 years.
Yeah.
Just Halloween night, biker hat is on.
One hat. What's a biker hat?
You know, like a motorcycle biker hat.
Like a helmet?
Like a leather one? Like a
No, it was like a beret with like some long blonde straight hair. I don't know.
Yeah. Like a
like the Muppet. Wait, what's that one Muppet with the pink lips that has the long? No,
that's funny.
The woman Muppet with the long eyelashes and
hilarious.
The pink lips.
I feel like that's
yeah, with the white,
it's
just
like a
white
black
straight hair.
The white straight
that's
hair.
True.
Yeah, it was a Muppet hat.
That is a contrast. Like
that's funny.
Parents now are like, well, what am I gonna wear? And our parents were like, I got my costume. We're gonna do the football cheerleader thing again.
Yeah. It's just grown because we had like home costumes.
Yes.
I don't know about you, Andy, but like they didn't have this whole industry, and you didn't have Amazon to get like yellow tights.
No, you know, like, it was like your local department store,
Walmart,
sold felt.
Yeah, you had felt. Yeah, and fabric.
I mean, how much felt I wore as a? I mean, I was a pirate. I don't know how many times.
Yeah, yeah, you had to.
I was a ninja. '50s girl forever.
Yeah.
You would recycle, rewear, wear your sibling's costume.
Yeah.
It's very homegrown.
There were some. Mm-hmm. There were a couple. I mean, Seinfeld had the old bit about the old masks with the rubber band. Like, there were a couple, but they were crap costumes. Mm-hmm. There were nothing that you were that excited.
It didn't really look like the thing you wanted to look like.
When we were kids, the costume was a formality to get candy.
Right.
But
right.
now the costume is the candy.
It's the presentation.
It's the the costume is so much more exciting to be in than it used to
be. Well, and I think there's like Pinterest and DIY, and then, I mean, you can just, creativity is all over the
amount
internet,
of moms doing costumes for their kids where, I mean.
Or dads. Yeah.
Or the amount of parents doing costumes for their kids is, moms are, it doesn't matter.
Well,
yeah.
The hard thing, Andy, you have littler kids, is getting your little child to pick a costume.
Yeah, mine doesn't pick one.
Because they won't stick to it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And then it's itchy or they don't want to wear it. And then you end up compromising night of. But, but as they get older, it's more like the groupings. So like the teens and the tweens, it's like, well, I want to do a group costume with my friend.
Right.
And then we both have to get our moms together and text. And,
yeah, it's a lot.
And they can't make a plan, so it's trickier.
You like a DIY costume, though.
I love a DIY costume.
You do.
I love it. The meme. I love it because it doesn't have to be like you made the shirt. It just looks so much better if you just didn't buy a whole head-to-toe set. And I understand that costs money.
Yeah.
But, like, if I see your whole family in Incredibles costumes, like, that was, like, $500 or...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, you're just, like, buy red pajamas on Amazon and then put the little crest, you know, like, it just looks better.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
But you do. It's just a personal choice.
Yeah. It's a time versus money debate.
No, but I do think that you can pull off DIY without spending money.
Not as fast as buying something on Amazon.
That's true.
Yeah.
You're like, it's add to cart, shows at my house.
As you say, because DIY can be more costly and more timely. Like, it can cost more time and money.
Totally. Like, my favorite was I bought this, like, jumpsuit I really wanted last year.
Yeah, and you're like, I'm Rosie the Riveter.
And I was Rosie the Riveter, and I'm still so proud of myself.
That you got
it. Two birds, one stone, because I got the jumpsuit, but then I got a historical woman Halloween costume.
Yeah. It's amazing.
So, I don't know. I make it more complicated for myself than I need to. I guess that's what I'm saying.
The worst thing, I feel like the worst thing, and this applies to both DIY and normal costumes, but I feel like the worst feeling in Halloween is when you get in your costume and nobody knows what you are.
100%.
Oh, 100%. I was a skunk a couple of years ago. That did not translate, my friend.
It just...
You're like, I tried so hard.
I wanted this.
Stupid.
I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah. People just... No, they don't know what your costume is. They're like, do you just dress that way?
Okay, so that happened to us when we went as the couple costume Juno.
Yeah.
And the reason it happened was because we went to your work.
Yeah.
Which at the time had like a bunch of, you know, college kids.
Right, right.
And we were about 10, 12 years older than them. They hadn't seen
they
Juno.
They hadn't seen Juno.
They were like fifth graders when Juno came out.
You were
out.
Pregnant at the time.
So
that's why it was
that
such
was
a good costume.
Funny,
it's a good costume.
You know?
Yeah, I had the shirt. I didn't wear the short shorts. It was a work setting.
and I had like the striped Juno shirt and I was pregnant. Like, so we thought it was great.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, what's that?
You just can't get, like, that's the risk of going too specific. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the even worse as a feeling. The feeling is even worse as a child. When you come up, they're like, what are you? Like, I'm supposed to be a Power Ranger.
My mom DIY'd this costume.
Like, we thought you were David Bowie. No! I'm the Green Ranger!
I'm sorry you're not cultured.
I would never be David Bowie. I'm 11!
How do you know who David Bowie is?
I have a sword! Bowie never had a sword!
I'm wearing a helmet!
Yeah.
That's what I told the Claire. Context clues.
Oh. It hurts so bad when someone doesn't know your costume.
It's the worst.
Especially when you think it's funny. You're like, oh, I'm this guy from this sketch. They're like, yeah, well. Or they're like, oh, I guess you just didn't dress up. You're like, I did. I did dress up. You just can't tell because you're not cultured like I am. It's a huge risk.
What was your best costume?
Oof. As a child or as an adult?
I had zero good costumes as a kid. No money. No help in the house to do it. Like, there was just no, there was not a good, and I'm not artsy. Yeah. I'm not, so I had zero good costumes.
Good ideas, but the execution. I'm trying to give you like a bone or something.
Yeah, I think our best costume ever was a couple's costume when we were televangelists together. And you went big hair, purple in the crazy makeup. I was crazy spray tan makeup. I
had a
Bible.
Lot of face makeup.
I had money coming out of my pockets. And I was a pastor at the time that we did.
You were a youth pastor.
I was still counts. put a little shade on it.
Sorry, I'm just giving you a hard time.
Youth pastor folk hero here.
That was at a bowling party for the youth group.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that hit.
It's great.
At the time, this is so funny. I was telling you. Because we were like new to life and budgeting. I was like, we spent $45 on these costumes.
It's unbelievable.
On Halloween costumes.
I was literally wearing my wedding suit, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I was pregnant.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Like the
You were pregnant?
Tight at the waist.
Oh, hilarious.
Yes, I was pregnant. But I remember being like, this is so much money.
So much. Really
don't
set us back.
Money.
And then we have children. You're like, okay. So. Can we just rip some
drapes?
Tear down the drapes.
Gotta buy new drapes.
A child. Yeah.
Do you know what that reference is?
Yes. No, I was just thinking.
Like, and we knew then that we should have had a child.
Yeah. When you grow up without a lot of money, you have a parent that'll like rip the lease off a plant and be like, "You're poison ivy."
This is a cape now.
And you're like, well, I am itchy. What plant did you put on me?
Poison ivy.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they'll look the character. No, I think that was good. One year I was like a 70s like gym coach. I had a mustache and an afro and like a tucked
in polo
and a whistle. That one was pretty good.
Oh, with that sweatband.
You were a bad Catwoman that year. You missed that year, I remember. Yeah.
Well, okay. Joel was Batman. He was a kindergartner.
Right.
He asked me to be Catwoman.
Right.
And I just wore black.
And we should have gone to one of those lover stores and got you.
I just have a whip.
And got you a Catwoman costume and done it right.
Pleather.
You might have needed
bodysuit.
You might have needed to fill in a few spots. Crotchless Catwoman coming down to Pumpkin Patch.
Yeah, we didn't have money back then to spend on a Halloween costume, so all black it was.
I might see where I can find that Catwoman costume now that we're doing all right, because that Michelle Pfeiffer one came out when I was about 11.
I don't know.
Another big fail is when you do a group costume.
And everyone doesn't come through?
Everyone doesn't come through. Well, one of the pitfalls of a group costume... When you're like, there's five of you, and you're like, we're going to be the turtles. And you're like, I don't want to be Splinter.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the freaking rat. I want to be one of the turtles.
Yeah, just
I don't want to
the
be
worst.
I don't want to be the quiet, wise one.
Well, what are you supposed to wear? Yeah. As Splinter.
Yeah.
A robe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but you're like, well, you're kind of nerdy. So
yeah.
I'm like, oh, you're Hugh Hefner.
Like Harry Hugh Hefner. So the group costume thing can get weird, too.
Yeah.
Then you're like, if we're a group, mm-hmm. we got to all go out together.
And like, what are we committing to?
Yeah.
A new parent tack is just to do a onesie.
Yes, you love the onesie, yeah.
Now, that's just like one and done.
Right.
The kid can wear it around the house. The teen
right.
can wear it around the house.
Yeah.
So it's got a little bit more of a shelf life.
Yeah.
And they just kind of wear those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just zip it up, and it's got the hood.
Right.
Ta-da, you're in full costume.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's like a sweatsuit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, what do you think about this theory? This is a theory on the rise of why millennials have made
Halloween
so popular. My theory
millennials don't have much.
Millennials don't have much. I think that part of the reason, I don't know if this theory checks out.
Okay.
But I think that part of the reason millennials have made Halloween so popular is because it's one of the few holidays we have no trauma attached to.
Expand.
We got lots of Christmas trauma.
Sure.
Holidays are real traumatic.
I see.
There's a lot of pressure. Someone got too drunk.
Said a couple things.
You didn't have enough. You said a couple things that they meant. And then blame the booze.
People are traveling out of town. There's no one's traveling
for
in-laws.
Halloween. We were a divorced generation, so you had to split
multiple
the holidays.
Christmases.
There was a lot of stuff going on that there was joy. But if you didn't have money, you would come back.
Santa.
And Santa didn't come to your house. You would go back
Santa
to school.
Skipped you.
All the rich kids would have new clothes. You didn't have new clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Halloween, when we were kids, was just a child's holiday. It was just only ours.
Because you will get candy no matter what.
Yeah.
If your family lets you trick or treat, you will get candy.
You had no drama or trauma attached to that, unless you grew up religious.
And then you got scared.
And then, this has always been mine. And so I had great Halloweens as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were excited to have great Halloweens. And I didn't have bad holidays. And Christmas was great. But Christmas had good and bad to it. Halloween was all good.
Mm-hmm.
No
mm-hmm.
bad to Halloween. I have no negative Halloween memories.
We're talking about, like, you have a couple bad costume swings and misses, but it's still funny.
It's still funny. And no one cares. Like, if your costume isn't great, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't
you
matter.
You still got all the candy.
Yeah.
And you were with friends or people
you
liked.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Fun.
My sociological answer is because we're the generation of self-expression. So it's like it's the highest self-expression holiday paired with the highest reward holiday.
Candy. Yeah.
I mean, as simple as that. It's like I get to be completely whatever, both inversion and outversion or extroversion, meaning I can express exactly who I am and introverts can be someone else.
Yes. Yes.
So it's like it neutralizes our generation to
right.
be like we're all on the same page.
Right.
And so everybody gets to play.
So now we do crazy things. Like millennials decorate their home for Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You did not do that when I was a kid. If you did, it was up all year and you were a real witch.
Real cobwebs.
And
yeah.
we were told to stay away from your home. But we're like, let's put this severed head on the door above the welcome mat.
Yeah.
The huge skeletons and stuff. That was not a thing when I was a kid.
12-foot skeleton.
That was not a thing.
Yeah.
And so now we love it and we do it with our kids, which then in conclusion makes me think our kids will not like it when they're adults.
because they're
going to be like, my parents put so much pressure on me. They made me put on costumes like I was Ralphie in The Christmas Story. I didn't want to wear that. They made me wear it. They forced me to do these group costumes. I didn't want to be that. I don't know. It's a very interesting sociological thing to me because Halloween has gotten, and I know there are skeptics who will just be like, well, that's capitalism and commercialism. Sure. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. But it's just,
But that's too broad because the generation before us was equally as capitalistic and
it didn't
have the same results.
That's true.
It's purely like psychological.
I also think that part of it is evangelical America does it now. And they did not do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even your family was probably
a trauma response.
That's a trauma response. Yeah. That they're like, they were like,
we had the,
no, 80s Christians were like, hey, we're not allowed to have this. And so now they're grown
the devil's
ups
holiday.
And they're like, actually, yeah, we're going to put The Exorcist on a big screen in front of our house. Because F you, Dad.
Yeah.
And Falwell.
Yeah. And your Harvest Fest.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
The Harvest Festival.
Take that. Take that. Put you in the trunk.
Now it's, I fill my trunk with candy.
Yeah, exactly.
Do it with all my friends at the school.
Uh-huh. I think it's an interesting, yeah. It's,
this is good.
What holiday has gotten more popular in our life? None.
No.
Singularly, yeah, because I think fall and Christmas got, you know, spiked.
You know what's
with
it? You know
what's
interesting
part of
though?
The same thing, I think.
Because our most conservative Christian listeners, and they're gonna jump on this, and they are right to say this. Like, well, yeah, as America has become less Christian, Halloween, Easter needs a rebrand. Easter is people don't even get together for Easter anymore. Easter is done. I love Easter. I'm a big Easter guy. Yeah, you know, because I am going to heaven. I believe in the resurrection of Christ. But I also going to have, you know, I love an Oktoberfest and, you know, a little Halloween good time. I'm in muddy waters right now.
Silence.
You know, I just, it is a little throwback.
I love when I get onto this pod, when I'm in moments in these pods, and you two are like, no, continue. Because what I'm saying is that I am nuanced and no one knows where we're at on things that I'd have it no other way. I love to keep them guessing.
I would actually say that 4th of July is ascending a bit. Descending, I meant.
No, 4th of July is gone bigger. So that's heavy America.
Yeah, but I do think there's some polarization there.
You know what's gone way up since we moved to San Diego? Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo.
Not a big Cinco de Mayo up in the Northwest in Southern Canada where we live. I feel like Christmas has remained neutral. You know what I think has gone down a little is Thanksgiving.
I think that's just us.
No, I feel like Thanksgiving.
Fair. That follows my theory because it's like gratefulness is not an easy expression.
Right.
Whereas these other things are very easy expressions.
Yeah.
Fourth of July, freedom. Yeah. If that's your brand of life, then you're going to go all in on Fourth of July.
Yeah.
However.
What it is, is the demise of the nuclear family.
Okay. How about this?
That's families in America keep falling apart and they keep taking God out of the schools. Halloween is bigger than ever.
Oh, no. This is as bad as the Barbie movie.
What I'm saying is all three of my kids are going to Liberty.
Liberty University?
If it still exists.
Okay. No, what I was going to say is you could tell a lot about a person based on their favorite holiday.
Ooh, that's an interesting take.
Or maybe like the region of the country.
Judgy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Which holidays do you decorate outdoors?
Yeah. True. I just think some of it is, it is shocking because I did Halloween. Like I became a Christian in late middle school, early high school. And so, but I grew up in like a non-Christian where you guys grew up in the throes of it. And
but
even in the quote unquote secular world, it wasn't as like mainstream and it certainly wasn't as like spooky. Like there was like legit, like scary things that people put in their front yards.
Yeah.
Like very gory type things. So it's just been an interesting shift. Maybe this generation is just less scaredy cats.
So I think that's the rise of the popularity of the horror movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And desensitization, like that, that, you know, which would fall into the same.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
like the film industry, the TV industry, the media industry has desensitized our morals.
Right,
so
right.
So now we're just this devil worshipping generation.
The other piece on that is like if you think about like there are games like Five Nights at Freddy's, which is
a video game,
a scary horror based video game.
Yeah,
so it is just much more mainstream than it used to be. Yeah.
But I do think, you know, like we used to go to Culver City like every October.
Uh-huh.
And that's just like a little pocket neighborhood in LA.
Yeah.
And that's like Southern California does Halloween really big.
Well, they can.
Because
they can be outside. And maybe that
outdoors, artists.
Yeah.
Like they're in like entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Like I think Knott's Scary Farm is probably, I mean, maybe like Six Flags does it.
Yeah.
You know, like in Texas.
I mean, there was like in Seattle growing up, there was
maybe
like
Universal,
one haunted
like
house
Florida.
That you could go to. Cube 93.3's haunted house. There was like one in town.
I think most towns have a haunted house or a corn maze.
I don't know. It's really interesting stuff. I'd love to hear your theories on this, everybody, on the rise and fall of different holidays and why some are becoming bigger and more popular and your attachment to it on the different holidays. Shoot me an email. Us an email. Like, don't make me come back there, gmail.com.
It's like you can't host your family for Thanksgiving or Christmas, but you can hand out Halloween candy at your rental house.
That's true.
Yeah.
Up top.
Yeah.
One quick email and we're going to get out of here. What animals would you be? This is a quick one. This is from Dan. Big friend of the podcast, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Dan just went right to it. Grizzly bear, hanging out in Alaska, eating fresh salmon, and try to avoid getting pepper sprayed by hikers. We have two submissions so far, and they're both bears.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Also, tell us what animal you would want to be if you could be any animal other than human at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Happy Fall Festival, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, folks, want to give a special shout out to our As Essential as Oils patrons. Ooh, that's $25 up a month. That's a big money right there. What you get is you get a special shout out on this podcast at the end right now. So, first up,
Avril Griffiths,
Adam Bush,
Allison Nelson,
Bonnie Galindo,
Carrie Teague,
Caroline Crimmins,
Code to Grow,
Courtney Eibling,
Damaris Diaz Stevens,
Dan and Chelsea Morell,
Daniel Owens,
David and Melissa Cox,
Dave Hoagland,
Isaac Teron,
Jason White,
Jennifer Ashley Downs,
Jessica Handurand,
Joshua and Nikki Platt,
Jordan Lara,
Jordan Cowan,
Juliana Smith,
Lori Amos,
Matt and Sam Slosdom,
Nathan and Jennifer Merritt,
Nicole Carose,
Rachel Wilson,
Rachel Kennedy,
Robert and Nellie Capin,
Stephen Menya,
and Tiffany Payne. Woo. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank bam, 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 bam.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Menards 11% rebate is here. From lighting to lumber, from doors to floors. The bigger the project, the bigger the rebate. From painting projects to that new kitchen makeover and designing that outdoor space of your dreams. Save big on any project you're tackling. Hurry into Menards for an 11% rebate on everything. Mail-in rebate is a merchandise credit check, not a point-of-sale discount. Redeemable on future in-store purchases only. Not on future purchases on Menards.com. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.